I thank the Lord for this privilege God has given me to come back to you after a couple of years. Good to see so many of you who have come out to listen to God's word and to spend time in prayer. I'm grateful to the assembly also for inviting me and giving me this opportunity to share God's word. I want to share with you something that has been of great concern and burden in my heart for the past many months. As you look around in the world, and also in Christendom, also in our assemblies, Satan has been playing havoc, messing up churches, messing up families, messing up the spiritual life of individuals. And most of the believers are just standing with folded hands as spectators, saying, well, we are helpless. Satan is doing all this. He is bringing division in the church. What can we do about it? He is pulling down families. He is breaking marriages. And he is messing up the lives of people. And we just can't do anything about it. These are the last days, and what shall we do? So we have a feeling of helplessness. We just cannot do anything. What can we do? This is what's going on in the world. And even among believers, that's what's going on. That is the thought of many people. But as you look into God's word, I think there is a remedy for this situation. We need not allow the devil to do this. That is what the scriptures teach. I'm very much gripped by this thought, and I've been thinking and studying about this for some time, and I thought I will share that concern with you and show you the remedy from God's word. Will you please come with me to Ephesians chapter 4? Paul's letter to Ephesians chapter 4. We read verses 26 and 27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Now, this is not an isolated verse. I'm going to focus on verse 27. We know that that is not an isolated verse. That verse is connected to the verses above. About speaking the truth and putting away lying, getting angry, and then the following verses, stealing. All those verses, they come together. You cannot isolate verse 27 from the context. I know that. In this context, this verse comes with regard to getting angry. Do not get angry be angry and sin not. And then it says, give no place to the devil. In 1 Corinthians 2:11, that's a similar verse, 1 Corinthians 2:11. There Paul says, now here the context in 1 Corinthians, the context is forgiveness. In Ephesians 4, the context, as you know, is getting angry. 2 Corinthians 2:11, not 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 2:11. Look at that verse. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan should not get an advantage of us. That is in the context of forgiveness. If we read the verses above, you will know that. So in Ephesians 4, the context is anger and lying and speaking the truth and stealing. Here in 2 Corinthians 2, the context is forgiveness. So in that connection, Apostle reminds us that we should not give place to the devil. Let not the devil take advantage of us. So when we give ourselves to anger, when we speak, when we do not speak the truth, when we lie, we are actually giving place to the devil. That is the meaning of that verse in its context. Well, we understand that that is the right interpretation. But I would like to take verse 27 and focus just on verse 27. Well, in connection with the context itself, but focus on that verse 27. Here, the Spirit of God says, don't give place. In some translations, it says, do not give opportunity. Don't give opportunity to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give a foothold to the devil. Why is it necessary to remind us not to give a foothold to the devil? Why are we asked not to give any place to the devil? I think it is Warren Wiersbe who said, devil doesn't need a four-lane highway to come in. He just needs a lane to come in. That's very true. You don't have to make a four-way lane, a highway for the devil to come in. You just have to make a little room. A small lane is enough for him to come in. Now, why are we exhorted not to give him place, not to give him an opportunity? The reason is simple, because he is seeking for an opportunity. He is looking for a place. He is seeking to enter our church, our personal life, our family life. And that is why we are exhorted not to give him place. That's very logical. That's very reasonable. Here is someone who seeks to enter. Here is someone who is looking, waiting for an opportunity somehow to enter into our family, between the husband and wife, to enter into the church among people and enter into the personal lives of people. Therefore, we are exhorted not to give him place. Now, the word of God teaches us that in the book of Job chapter 1, you know, we read that how he is roaming around, He's going from back and forth. When God asked him, where are you coming from? You know that passage? What is his answer? He says, I'm going to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's going to and fro. That's there in Job chapter 1. All of you know that verse. I'm going to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why is he going to and fro throughout the whole earth? Is he on a sightseeing trip? Is he going around to see good places, visit people? No, that's not his purpose. He's going around to and fro. Apostle Peter tells us the exact reason why he is going around. Let's ask Peter. 2 Peter chapter 5. There he tells us exactly why he is going around. 2 Peter 5:8. Be ye sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In the book of Job, Satan himself says, I am going to and fro. And the Spirit of God in 2 Peter 8 says, 2:5-8 says, he is walking around, our adversary, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's something very dangerous. That's something very serious. He is let loose for a time. And he's free to go throughout the whole earth. And he's walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And therefore, that exhortation, be careful, give no place to the devil, is a very relevant, very correct exhortation. Very important exhortation. Now, imagine that you get news that a lion is let loose from a circus tent. You know, in the olden days, they used to have lions in the circus, but now I think that's not allowed. Anyway, suppose you get news that he's in your area. He's in Edmondsley area. The news says the lion is let loose, or somehow it escaped and is roaming around. What will you do? Will you go to the street, see, or let me have a look at that lion? Will you do that? No. You will lock yourself up in the room. You are afraid because he is roaming around. The roaring lion is roaming around, going to and fro. I better be careful, lock myself up. I make sure that he gets no entry into my compound. I make sure that he gets no entry into our house. That is what we do. But when it comes to spiritual things, we are not that careful. The Bible clearly says that the devil is on the loose. He is roaming to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking whom he may devour. He is after you. He is after me. Do we realize that? Are we careful about it? Knowing that he is on the loose? So the exhortation here, give no place to the devil, is a very, very relevant exhortation. Give no place to the devil. Why? Because he is looking for a place. He is seeking an entry. A second truth from that passage is, he can find an entry only if you give him an entry. That is something very encouraging. I would like to stress that point and elaborate upon it this evening. Dear brothers and sisters, Satan will get an entry into your church or your family or your personal life only if you will give him an entry. He cannot force his way in. Many believers have not understood this. They think that Satan can do anything he wants. If he wants to divide a church, he can just do it. If he wants to divide a family and pull down the family and bring a division between the husband and wife, well, the devil can do it. If he wants to mess up a personal life of anyone, he can do it. That's what many people think. That is simply not true. If Satan could divide assemblies, churches, he would have divided all the churches in the world. Do you agree with me? If he could divide, he would have done that in all the churches. If he could break families, he would have broken all the families in the world. If he could mess up the lives of believers, he would have messed up the lives of every individual. The truth is, he can do that only if you allow him to do that. He is seeking an entry, give no place, because he can enter only if you allow him to enter. He cannot force his way in. That's a very encouraging truth. Think of what happened in the Garden of Eden. In the form of a serpent, he came to Eve and he said, come on, look at that fruit. That's very good. If you eat of it, you will become like God. That's a beautiful fruit. Come on, have a look at it. Taste it. That's very good. He prompted or he tempted. That's all he could do. Suppose Eve had said, no, I don't want to listen to you. You'll get lost. I'm not going to touch or take that fruit. I will stick to what God said. If she had said like that, what do you think the devil would have done? Have you ever thought about it? Eve says, no, I'm not going to listen to you. You go away. I don't want any advice from you. Suppose Eve had said that, what would Satan have done? You think Satan would have plucked that fruit and forced it into Eve's mouth? Come on, you've got to eat this. Come, open your mouth. Come on. You think he would have done that? He cannot do that. He doesn't have the freedom or the authority or the power to do that. He is like a dog on a leash. God has given him limited power, limited freedom. All that he can do is to come and prompt you, try to influence you, try to tempt you and say words of allurement and try to draw your attention to things that you are not supposed to be looking at. Come on, that's good. Do it. That's all. It is up to Eve to say yes or no. That is why Eve and Adam are responsible for the sin they committed. It is true that Satan has played a role behind the scene. That's true. He has a part in it. But who is ultimately responsible? Adam and Eve, they are responsible because they exercised their will and agreed to what Satan said. They exercised their volition and said yes. That is why they are held responsible. So remember this truth all the days of your life. Satan does not have the power to forcefully enter into your life or influence you. He can only try to influence you. He can only prompt you. He can only tempt you. But you have the authority. the capacity to say no. Why does he enter into churches and families and individual lives? Not because he is too strong. The Bible says, greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. The one who is stronger is in us. Apostle John tells us, greater is the one in us than he that is in the world. The Lord Jesus in us, or the Spirit of God in us, is far more stronger than the devil. He cannot force his way into the life of a believer. Then why does he come in? How does he come in? Because we say yes to him. At this point, believers are deceived. Let me tell you practically how he is deceived. Let's say an assembly is divided for whatever reason. What do we go around saying? Who divided our church? Who? Satan. That's not right. Satan cannot divide churches. I am John and my brother is Alex. So Satan will come to me and say, whatever Alex says, you oppose it. And he will go to Alex and say, well, whatever he says, don't agree. And both of us say, okay. And when the committee meeting or oversight meeting, whatever meeting comes, when he says something, I will oppose it. When I say something, he will oppose it. And finally, we become two parties. Then everybody goes around saying, Satan divided our church. My friend, Satan cannot divide churches. You divide, John and Alex, you divided the church. You four. What is Satan's role in it? Well, he prompted you. He sort of influenced you and you shook your hand and said, yes, that's fine. That is why we are responsible for all the wrong things that happen in our life. Take a husband and wife. Oh, Satan divided them. How can Satan divide a husband and wife whom God has joined? Let no man put asunder. Satan cannot put asunder what God has joined. Then how were they divided? How were they separated? Well, Satan came and worked in the heart of the wife. She allowed it and he also allowed it. And no reconciliation, so they had to part. Who is responsible? Who is the prime culprit? Not Satan. Think of our personal life. Some of us are backslidden. Huh? We go away from the ways of God. We develop unspiritual attitudes, or we fall into sinful habits, and we practice things that are not to be practiced by believers, and we say the devil. No, it's not the devil. Yeah, he has a part in it, but you did it. Therefore, let me say, brothers and sisters, we are responsible for all the evil things that happen in our life. It's not the devil. He is behind it, I agree. But he will get an entry only if you give him an entry. If something is wrong in your life, don't say, the devil messed up my life. You say, the devil tried to mess up and I said yes to it. That is why my life is messed up. There's no other biblical explanation. Very often, though we know this, we don't understand it properly. And we go around saying, the devil did it, the devil did it. My friend, the devil cannot do it. So, we have to be careful not to give him an entry, because he seeks an entry. Secondly, he will get an entry only if you give him an entry. He cannot force his way in. Then, why does he seek an entry? What does he want to do in our lives? Huh? What is his intention? Why does he want to get into families and churches? Come with me to John chapter 10 and verse 10. Look at a clear statement the Lord Jesus made. John chapter 10 and verse 10. There the Lord Jesus himself is speaking. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The Lord says, I've come to give you abundant life. That is overflowing life, exciting life, adventurous life, life where there is victory over sin, life in which rivers of living water will flow from your belly. That's the kind of life I have come to give. But the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Who is the thief here? Now, you look at verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Look at this. All that ever came before me are thieves. So who are the thieves? All that came before me. So according to this passage, if you follow the strict contextual interpretation, the thieves are the false messiahs or the false teachers that came to confuse the Jewish people. So the Lord Jesus is saying, these false messiahs or these false teachers, false prophets, came to confuse you, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I come, I am the true, I am the way, I have come to give you life. That is the strict interpretation of this passage. I understand that. But who worked behind these false prophets? Who is the one who prompted and sent these false prophets? That is the devil. So directly, though this verse does not apply to the devil, he is the one behind it. The one who prompted, the one who sent these false messiahs and prophets is the devil. So, lengthening that interpretation, I want to make an application to him. And I think I am right in doing that. He is the one behind it. And therefore, the devil comes through these false prophets to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil comes into our life also to do these three things. Very often we don't realize that. He comes to steal. What is stealing? Stealing is taking away the good things from someone. That's stealing. A thief comes to your house and he takes away all the good things from your house. That is stealing. What does Satan do? When he gets an entry, remember, when you give him an entry, that's important. Huh? Not when he forces his way into your house. He cannot do that. I told you that earlier. When you open the door and allow him entry, what does he do? He steals. He steals your joy. He cannot steal your salvation. That's secure. But he can steal the joy of your salvation. He cannot steal your relationship with God. He can steal your fellowship with God. He can steal your intimacy with God. And he steals the victory from your life. He steals the joy of salvation from your life. He steals the abundance from your life. He steals all the good things from your life. I sometimes think even now of the miserable life so many believers are leading today. I am sure you also know this. Think of the misery so many of our brothers and sisters are passing through. Not misery because of cancer or any such thing. Well, that we cannot help it. Diseases that come our way, we may not be able to stop it. I'm not talking about that. But misery because of wrong attitudes in their life. Because of unforgiving spirit, sleeplessness. Because of spirit of, maintaining a spirit of, entertaining a spirit of revenge in their heart. Because of unforgiveness in their heart. Misery because of their love for money. Because of going after the things of the world. Satan has stolen all the good things from the lives of some believers. There's nothing in their life. They can say, I have eternal life. They can say, I'm going to heaven. Fine, that's true. But where is your joy? Why is it that you're not able to sleep at night? Why are you always worried about the other person and planning to take revenge upon the other person? Why are you entertaining unnecessary evil imaginations in your heart? Satan has stolen all the good things from your life. Did the Lord save you for living a life like this? What did Jesus say? I've come to give you abundant life. That is the birthright of every child of God. Live a life of victory. Live a life of joy. Satan steals things that are good. Then it says he comes to kill, put to death. He puts to death all the good things. Then the third word, he comes to destroy. In the Malayalam Bible, that third word is a very, very strong word. Destroy means I don't know how to explain it. You know, totally mess up your life and destroy your whole life. I feel very, very bad when I think about many believers whose lives are totally messed up and destroyed because of allowing Satan, because of entertaining Satan in their life. My dear brothers and sisters, he will get an entry only if you give him an entry. And if you give him an entry, be sure that he will take away all the good things from your life. There's no doubt about it. He never comes to bless anyone. He never comes to give peace or joy to anyone. He takes away your joy. He takes away your peace. And he messes up your life totally. You can live in this world saying, I'm going to heaven when the Lord comes. We are that may be true if you are saved. But your life is full of sorrow, bitterness, anger, revenge, unforgiveness. What a terrible thing to live like that, saying that I am a Christian. Let me tell you another thing. You know, when it says don't give place to the devil, we know that no one will invite the devil directly into their life. Is there anyone here who would say, devil, good morning, I'm opening the door of my heart, please come into my house? Will anybody say that? No one will ever say that. None of the believers would say that. Then how does he come in? We say that we will never ask him to come in, right? We will never say, welcome, I'm opening the door, please come in. We never will do that. Nobody will do that. Then how does he come in? He comes in according to the interpretation in this context. Remember the context of Ephesians 4? What is the context? Anger. Devil's entry is connected to anger and lying and stealing and evil speech in this context. So, when does he come in and how does he come in? None of us will directly invite him in, that's true. Then how does he come in? He comes in when we entertain his characteristics in our life. That's how he comes in. When you entertain anger, Paul says, you're giving place to the devil. What's the meaning of that? That means, though no one invites the devil directly, according to welcome to him, we allow the devil an entry when we follow his characteristics, when we entertain or tolerate his characteristics in our life, and anger is one of them. And we know that anger leads to hatred. There are so many verses in the scriptures. Anger leads to hatred, and that hatred leads to murder. Let's see what Apostle John says. 1 John 3. There we read about jealousy in verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. His works were evil, and his brother's were righteous, therefore he became jealous. Now, Cain, who was of that wicked one, what did that mean? Cain was of that wicked one. What did that mean? That means Cain was one who entertained the character of the wicked one. What's his character? Jealousy, anger, hatred. That's all his character. Look at verse 15. 1 John 3:15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Whosoever who hateth his brother, his brother is a murderer. What did Jesus say in John chapter 8 about murdering? I'm sure you know, you know that verse. In John chapter 8, the Lord said in verse 44, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning." That is his character. So, jealousy and hatred, that leads to murder. These are all characteristics of the devil. So, when we entertain any of those characteristics in our heart, we are giving place to the devil. When you refuse to forgive someone, when you entertain jealousy in your heart, when we entertain hatred in our heart, and when we murder, we may not physically murder. You know, there's a word in English called blasphemy. Usually we explain it as speaking something against God. But that is not strictly the meaning of that word. That comes from two Latin words, blast and femi. Blast means explosion. Femi means good name. What is blasphemy? Literally, exploding or blasting the good name of someone. That is blasphemy. Who does blasting? Sometimes we hear in the news, there was bomb blast in the local trade. Who does blast? Who does the blasting? What do we call them? Terrorists, right? Terrorists are the one who orchestrates bomb blasts. But there's another kind of blasting. Are we terrorists? We say, no. We are good people. We are believers. Do you ever blast something? No. We don't blast. Have you ever blasted the good name of somebody? Have you ever spoken ill of someone and blasted their good name before others? That is blasting. So the Lord said, John says, who hates his brother is a murderer. And the Lord Jesus said, Satan is a murderer from the beginning. Apostle John says, Cain acted like this because he belonged to the devil. That is the devil's characteristic, to be jealous. Dear brothers and sisters, we may say that we never invite the devil in. But when you entertain jealousy and anger and spirit of hatred and blast the good name of others, you are giving an entry to the devil. If you give an entry to the devil, what will he do? Steal, kill, and destroy. Is there any point in crying after that? Oh, he stole all my good things. Suppose someone comes and knocks at the door, my door at night, and says, I'm on my way to some place. I have no place to sleep. Can I, rest here? I know that he's a thief. I know him. He's a thief. I say, okay, no problem. Please come in. This is your bed. Sleep here. And he sleeps for the night. And the early morning, he's gone. Then when I wake up, I go around lamenting. Oh, my cell phone is missing. My watch is missing. My car is missing. Is there any point in crying like that? That is what people do. That's what believers do. Oh, this has happened in my life. That has happened in my life. Things are not right in my life. Why? Because you allowed him a place. He came and did his work and went away. Why did he come in? To steal, kill, and destroy. He did it. And why are you lamenting about it? You knew. The Bible clearly told you that is what he comes for. The Bible warned you not to give him place. You are not willing. We were not willing to listen to that. We entertained evil thoughts. We entertained jealousy. We entertained murder. And then now we are lamenting, oh, everything is messed up in my life. Well, who is responsible? You are responsible. We are responsible. What a sad thing that is. In John 8:4, the Lord said one thing more in the last part of that verse, John 8:44. He is a liar and the father of it. Every lie comes from the devil. When you entertain a lie, tolerate a lie, tell a lie, pretend a lie, you are giving place to the devil. Sorry for saying this, the next statement. As I travel around and meet with people and get to know people, I am really shocked to know that many believers tell lies. Do you agree? There are many believers who tell lies about so many things. I don't know why they don't feel anything about it. They go around as if nothing has happened. They tell lies. When they tell lies, they don't realize that they are opening the door for the devil and saying, please come in. And the devil comes into their life and he messes up. He kills, destroys, and steals. So the Lord said, every lie is from the devil. So what am I trying to say? Though none of us will open the door of our heart and life and, you know, invite him in, welcome him in, when we entertain his characteristics, when we tolerate lie, when we tolerate deception, when we tolerate evil thoughts, when we entertain revenge, when we entertain unforgiveness, when we entertain anger and jealousy in our heart, we are giving place to the devil. And if you give place to him, what will happen? He will come up and mess up. Pride is another characteristic of the devil. I have no time to take you through all those verses. In Isaiah 14, we read about Lucifer's fall. How did it happen? He said, I will go up. I will put my throne equal to the throne of God. He said that in his heart. He became proud. In the book of Timothy, we have a reference to church leadership, and there is a mention there about becoming proud and coming under the judgment that Lucifer got. Peter says, God resisted the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Any pride, it can be spiritual pride. I can be proud about my preaching, my ability, my accent, my knowledge, my whatever spiritual things I may have. We can all be proud about those things. Some of us may be proud about our family, our car, our money, our job. Whatever be the kind of pride, it doesn't make any difference. Whether it is spiritual pride or monetary pride or educational pride, pride is pride. Every pride is from the devil. And unless we humble, you know, sometimes being human beings, we may be tempted to be proud. Sometimes we become angry. Sometimes we become proud. That happens to you. That happens to me. But the moment it happens, humble yourself before God and cry out to God and say, oh God, I have failed. I confess it. That is what it means to be honest with God. How many believers do that? When they feel jealous or angry or when they become proud, they are happy about it. They entertain that. No wonder the lives of people are being messed up by the devil. They do not enjoy the abundance the Lord Jesus came to give every believer. That is why we are asked in James 4:7 to submit to God, resist the devil. And that verse says, James 4:7 says, he shall flee from you. You read about something that happened in the early church, the first sin recorded in the New Testament. Which is the first sin recorded in the New Testament? Which is the New Testament means the epistles, not talk about the Gospels. Which is the first sin recorded in the early church? That's in chapter 5 of Acts. Ananias and Sapphira, verse 3. All of you know the background. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You know, in the previous chapter, you read about another filling. In chapter 4, verse 31, we read, all were filled with the Holy Ghost. All were filled with the Holy Ghost. So the context is, in the early church, all the believers filled with the Holy Spirit, proclaiming the word with boldness, sharing all that they had. What a good ambience, what a good atmosphere. But in the midst of that, Satan found an entry into the heart of two people. And Peter says, why did you allow Satan to fill, which means influence? Why did you let the devil influence your mind? Even the best context, that can happen. Even if you are in the best church in this country, Satan can still try to deceive you. And you know what happened at the end? Both of them lost their lives. The thief comes to steal, kill. He literally killed them. Both of them died. In the book of Chronicles in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 1, we read of the devil. Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. That is also pride. Satan provoked David. You know, God was merciful. One of David's senior men told David, David, sir, don't do this. There's no need for you to count your army. God will bless you. God will multiply you. Please don't take census now. God was speaking to David. God was preventing that from happening. But Satan said, no, you count. You will feel good. Whom did David listen to? He listened to God or to Satan? He listened to Satan. You know the result? Read the whole story. 70,000 people were killed. Why? Because David gave an entry to the devil. David influenced his mind. Dear brothers and sisters, what a solemn thing this is. The scripture is very clear. The word of God is very clear. The warnings given in God's word are clear enough. Do not give place to the devil. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He is roaming around, seeking whom he may devour. Don't give him a foothold. Don't give him an opportunity. The Bible is very clear. But if we will just ignore all these warnings in the scriptures and allow these evil attitudes and characteristics in our life, then God is not responsible for the mess up of our life. We allowed the devil and he did it. Please don't blame God. Don't blame the devil also, because he got an entry only because you allowed him an entry. So in Ephesians, the context is telling lies, not speaking the truth, getting angry, stealing. When you entertain these things, Paul says, you are giving place to the devil. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, the context is unforgiveness. There, when you maintain an unforgiving spirit, Satan will take advantage of that situation. So what shall we do in conclusion? We need to make a resolution in my life, in our life, that I refuse to allow any entry point to the devil in my life. Base of operation. You know, US America has a base of operation in Qatar. They operate from there. It's a different country, but America has a military base there. That is where they operate from in that area. Satan also is looking for a base. What shall we do? By the grace of God, I am determined not to let the devil operate from any part of my life. I will give no place to the devil. That's a strong, deliberate decision that all of us can make tonight. I want to tell you for your encouragement, if you will decide like that and walk in intimate fellowship with God, depending on the grace of God every day, Satan will not be able to do anything to you. Not because you are someone big, no, because the one who is in you is greater than the one greater than devil. He will not be able to touch your children. He will not be able to touch their families. He will not be able to touch your church. He will not be able to touch your personal life. But tell God, oh God, I make this resolution before you. Though in my own strength I cannot do anything, trusting in your grace, I decide. This is a determination, a resolution. I will never let the devil find a foothold in my life. I will never entertain any of his characteristics in my life. Covetousness may come, jealousy may come, pride may come. Sometimes I may even fall. But the moment I realize I have fallen, I'll go to God and confess it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christian life is not a life where you never make a mistake. Victorious Christian life is not a life where you never fail. No, I don't think there's any Christian who never fails. But victorious Christian life is a life where you realize your failures and you handle it properly by confessing it and seeking God's grace every moment of your life. That is the secret of victory. Be honest with God. Can you be perfect overnight? No. Can you be honest? Yes. That is what God wants from us. May the Spirit of God encourage every one of us to say a big no to the devil, yes to the Lord, not just one day, but moment by moment, and take this determination that by the grace of God, I will refuse entry to the devil in all points of my life. I will follow the Lord. Will that be your decision this evening? And God will bless you. Thank you.